Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Let me ask you, take your Bible, if you will, tonight to the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 5. Genesis is that book in the Bible right after the page that says the Holy Bible, all right? So it's pretty easy to find there, all right? Genesis chapter 5, if you will. I'm going to look at a man that may be familiar with, and I'm going to try to challenge you just a little bit tonight, not chew you out or not do anything like that, but just challenge you a little bit with a thought. I want to preach to you tonight on the subject of God had Enoch before he took him. God had Enoch before he took him, all right? That's what I want to look at tonight, all right? Verse 18 is where we're going to start, Genesis chapter 5. And Jared lived 162 years, and he begat Enoch. And Jared lived after he begat Enoch 800 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And I don't know about you, but I find Enoch to be one of the most interesting individuals in the Bible. I preached to you on another one this morning, Samson, I find very interesting, but maybe more so with Enoch, because Enoch is one of only two men who've ever been born on this earth that were not buried on this earth, okay? Just two of them. They were born here, but they were not buried here on the earth. And the Bible tells us he didn't die. Instead, we're just simply told that God took him. Amen. God took him. The Bible tells us twice in these verses that Enoch walked with God. Now, I've heard a preacher say, I do not remember who it was, but years ago, heard a preacher say that Enoch and God would meet every day and they'd walk, and said one day they were walking together, and when it came time to part, God looked over at Enoch and said, Enoch, we're closer to my place than we are to yours, so just come on with me, all right? And you said, that happened? Have no idea, but it sounds good, doesn't it? Doesn't that sound good to think, man, we're closer to heaven than we are to this old earth and our home here, so Enoch, just come on home with me tonight. And I want to talk to you, as I said, I want to speak to you tonight on the subject of God had Enoch before he took him. And thinking about this, first of all, we know that he had his agreement. He had his agreement. You said, now how do you know that? Well, because Amos chapter 3 and verse 3 says this, can two walk together except they be agreed? They be agreed. Right. So if Enoch walked with God, then they had to be in agreement. God had to have had the agreement of Enoch with everything he did. Now, just think about that, all right? Think about that. What does it mean to walk together? Well, we're going the same direction. Right. Going the same direction. That's not anything. It's not mind-boggling. But if you're going to walk with somebody, you got to be going the same direction they are. That's just part of it. I told you this before, but it fits here as an illustration. We used to take groups, of kids when it would be real wet and we couldn't do anything else for PE at school. I would say, hey, just come on, we'll take a walk. You know, there's sidewalks and areas down there close to the school. And I said, we'll just walk and go. And there's always students that want to get a little bit ahead of you. And there's just something in them that makes them do it. And of course, there's something in me that makes me do what I did, all right? They'd get ahead, and they'd be walking, they'd cross the street, and I'd just turn left, go down the sidewalk there, and they'd be walking along, they'd finally turn around and go, oh, and they'd have to turn around and catch up, all right? Well, see, we weren't in agreement. We weren't in agreement. They wanted to lead. They wanted to lead. There wasn't any agreement. Listen, if you're going to walk with God, you got to be in agreement about the direction you're going, all right? Now, I'll be honest with you tonight. This message is going to be on the bottom shelf. It's not going to be difficult for you to grasp what we're doing. It's going to be real simple. But I'll be honest with you, I think it'll help us. We got to be going the same direction if we're in agreement. Hey, if you're walking together, you have to be going at same speed. Same speed. I'd be walking somewhere with my wife. And in years gone by, I would sometimes have a tendency to walk a little bit too fast. All right, and I had to slow down because I wanted to walk with her. I didn't want to walk five paces ahead and said, "You stand back there where you belong, woman." We weren't doing that, you know. We were walking together, all right? We were walking together, so I had to adjust my speed. But as years went by and I began to have knee troubles, I'd say to her on occasion, "Hey, listen, if you want me to walk with you, you're going to have to slow down. You're just going to have to slow down. And if we're going to walk together, you've got to walk the same speed." Now we're doing pretty good. We're about the same speed. Now we don't have to, neither one of us can walk too fast, so we're okay. All right, we can stick together a little better. Don't have to work at it. But wait a minute, you say, "Well, preacher, what's that got to do with me and you?" Hey, you ever try to get ahead of God? Ever try to get ahead of God? A lot of people try to get ahead of God. They think, "Well, I'll just keep on going." No, you need to slow down. Amen. Need to wait. Be sure you're walking with him, not trying to get ahead of him. But there was agreement. God had his, you know, an agreement with him. But not only that, you got to have agreement about the destination. The destination. Where are we going? I don't know where you're headed, but I'm headed to heaven. I'm headed to heaven. Amen. That's where I want to go. That's where I want to get to. And boy, nobody's better to walk to than walking with God if that's where you're going. Now, to agree with somebody means it involves a mental assent, right? That's not too hard. That means we've got a mental agreement, and mentally and intellectually, if you will, we agree. We assent together on the same idea, same subject. And so mentally, we're together on that. Basically, it boils down to this. If we're walking together and we're in agreement, it means this. I'm thinking that your thinking is the right thinking. Does that sound good? I'm thinking that your thinking is the right thinking. You with me? Are you there? Is that the way it works in your house? Is there agreement? Man, it sure is quiet. I'm beginning to worry. Maybe we need to park it right here for a little while, all right? And I told you I'm going to chew you out tonight, but maybe we need to stop just a little bit. I'm thinking that you're thinking the right thinking, and if we agree like that, man, things work pretty good, okay? Things work pretty good. We just keep it going that way. I believe that's the way Enoch felt with God. I believe they were together, and intellectually they were in agreement with one another. God, if you will, had his thoughts. His thoughts were right with God. So there was agreement. He had Enoch's agreement before he took him. But I don't think that's all. I think he also had Enoch's affection before he took him. There is absolutely no indication that Enoch was ever forced to walk with God.
Right.
Now, if you've raised children, there's been times you have forced them to walk with you. You got a hold of their hand, and that wasn't their plan, but you had to force them. You held them and said, "Nope, we're going with me. We're going with me. Just stick with me here, all right? And I've got your hand." Wonderful thing to keep that going. We force, but usually folks walk together because they enjoy each other's company.
Right.
We're not. This is not a situation where Enoch, you know, was forced into the walk. He wasn't made to go the direction he was going. He wasn't made to go the speed he was going. He wasn't made to go to the destination. No, he was there, and he walked with God because he wanted to walk with God. I believe it's because he had his affection, all right? Now, who do you like to walk with? You like to walk with people you don't like? Well, I don't like you, but I sure do like to walk along with you. That would be the squirreliest thing in the world, huh? We walk with people we like. People we have that affection for them. That affection. It's good to be able to get along with somebody that you enjoy being with. You love those people and say, "We'll just spend a little time walking together." All right? Walking with him. Take your Bible. Let's go to the book of Jude. Jude verse 14. Way over in the New Testament, next to the last book there. Jude chapter 14. I said Enoch's a very interesting individual in the Bible. And most of everybody, the thing they think about him is, well, he didn't die. But there's a lot more to Enoch than that, obviously. You get to Jude, verse 14. The Bible says, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these things, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among all of their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Now, notice what that verse said there. He prophesied, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. Now, how in the world did he know that? He hadn't read the book of Revelation, had he? I mean, obviously he hadn't been written. He hadn't read. Hey, the truth of the matter is he hadn't read anything in the scriptures we have, all right, because there were no scriptures. Nothing had been written. The Word of God in this form did not exist. None of it. None of it did. Said, how'd it exist? Well, maybe walking with God sort of pays off, you know? And God communicated. God had to communicate with Enoch and let him know, hey, I'm coming back. And Enoch prophesied the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm convinced with all my heart he was loved by the Lord and he loved the Lord. God had his love and it was all there the way it should have been. And before he ever took Enoch, he had his affection. He had his affection. He had his agreement. He had his affection. And then I believe he had something else. I believe he had his actions. He had his actions. You see, it is our actions that determine our testimony. It's our actions. Your testimony as a Christian is not made because you go through life with your Bible tucked under your arm, talking to everybody that you pass. Hey, I just want to let you know I'm a Christian. I love the Lord, and I just walk with him, and I talk with him. I pray. I read his book. Now, how many of you do that regularly, okay? How many of you walk with him, and you carry your Bible, and you announce everywhere you go, I'm a Christian? Well, you don't do that. We that's not what we do. But it's our actions. People can watch us, I hope. I hope people can watch us and look and see and from our actions determine, you know, I think that person's a Christian. That person's a Christian. One thing ought to indicate it is, hey, you know what? I've noticed every Sunday we see those people leaving home. They're dressed up and, man, they have, you know, a book with them. And they're carrying that with them. They're getting in the car. They're going to, you know, I believe they're going to church. I believe they're going to church. And then maybe if you're a little more radical than that, they see you on Sunday evening doing the same thing. They're out mowing their yard, and there you go again. You're going somewhere. You're all dressed up. Then if you're just totally over the top, you do it on Wednesday night. On Wednesday night. Boy, three times a week they see you. You know, those people must be Christians. But wait a minute. We all know that the house of God's filled with hypocrites. The world thinks that, do they not? So they begin to examine your life a little differently. They begin to watch. They begin to watch what? Well, your actions. How you handle things. And, you know, how you handle people. How you deal with stuff. Maybe they're behind you there at Walmart. They're in line behind you and you go, hey, neighbor. And they, hey, neighbor, how you doing? It's good to see you. And you're there and you pay there at Walmart and they give you back your change and you're looking at it and you go, oh, wait a minute. You gave me back too much change. You didn't know me this much. Your actions saying, that's an honest person. So that neighbor of yours stood behind you in line, seen you going to church and thought, man, they might be a Christian. And then they get to see you. And they see you do something like that. And they go, well, they're not a thief anyway. They seem to be honest. Now, you know, check that block. Maybe they are a Christian. They are a Christian. Hey, what am I saying? I'm saying this. It's your actions that build your testimony. your actions that build your testimony. They see you get mad. You know, you're out there trying to crank up the lawnmower and the lawnmower won't start. Right? There you are and you're pulling on it. My old neighbor, I was over at his house just the other day and he had this new lawnmower. Right? And you're out there. And I was talking to him a second and I said, "Now, that'll worry." And he said, "No, watch this." And he mashed the button and it cranked up. Push lawnmower. I go, "That's my kind of lawnmower, all right?" But even them, you know, you mash the button and nothing happens. Nothing happens. You get worried. I've got one of those cars now. When you get in it, you just mash the button. Don't even have to put the key in. Mash the button and it cranks up. Now, I'm going to confess to you. I've mashed the knob to turn the radio on a few times. And I thought, what's wrong with the car? I reach in my pocket and said, "Well, there's the key." And I mash it again. And then it dawned on me, hey, stupid, that's not the button to crank the car. That's the radio knob, all right? You push it on and off too, all right? So I have to do that. But, hey, they watch you. They see you. They see you get mad. You can't crank up the lawnmower and everything. And they watch, see what you're going to do. You go around and kick it and cuss it? No. See, what are you doing? You're building a testimony. Are you with me? Building your testimony. It's our actions that determine our testimony. Now, I said to you, I believe God had Enoch's actions. So why do you believe that? Look in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Would you turn there with me? In the book of Hebrews chapter 11. I want you to notice just one verse here. It's just amazing thing what the Bible tells us about Enoch. All right? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 5. Are you there? Notice what the Bible says. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this, look at that, he had this testimony that he pleased God. He pleased God. Can I say this to you? The Bible would have never said Enoch would have pleased God if Enoch actions did not please God. Had to be. I mean, if his actions didn't please God, then his testimony would not have pleased God. If God couldn't look at Enoch and say, he's going to do what I've said to do, he's going to follow my word, he's going to obey my word, and if he didn't do that, then God would have never put down in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 5, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Hey, why did he please him? Because God had his actions. God had his actions. Are you with me? He had his agreement. He had his thoughts. He had his affections. He had his heart, his love. He had his actions. Now, what was the only thing left? The only thing left was his body. So that's what God took. So that's what God took. But he already basically had Enoch. He had his agreement, his affections, he had his actions, everything about old Enoch there, all right? Now, all of that, just consider that the introduction to the message. But we're going to have a very short message. Here it is. How much do we please him? How much does he have of us? Can I say this to you? Are we not as Christians looking for the trump of God to sound? Are we not looking for that? We're waiting and hoping that we'll hear the trumpet of God to sound. Then what's going to happen is he's going to take us. He's going to translate us the way he translated Enoch. Now stay with me, all right? Wouldn't it be good if when that happened, he had already had pretty much all of us anyway? Amen. If he had already have our agreement, he'd have our affections, he'd have our actions, they would already be, all of those things would please him. The only thing left, Lord, I'm just sitting here, just come take me, all right? Come take me. Look in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. In the Word of God, here's the way the Apostle Paul talks about it, and I really and truly, this or our desire for God ought to be this strong, all right? It ought to be so strong as we're drawn to God. Romans chapter 8, look if you will, verse 18. Paul said it this way under the inspiration of God. He said, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Now, when's that going to happen? At the rapture. All right? "For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature shall also be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body." So what's he talking about here? In the Bible, notice it says, we have the first fruits of the Spirit. So what's he saying? That means you and I, the Bible tells us that when you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes in and lives with you and in you. So if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you have the Holy Spirit living in you. Now, the Bible said that's just the first fruits of what God's got for us. It's just a little sample, all right? It's just a little sample. I sat over here, and I sit over here, and we'll be singing a song, and boy, I begin to think, and the Holy Spirit moves upon my heart and thinking about the words of that song, and what a joy it is to be a child of God.
Amen.
That's the first fruits. That's the first fruits. You think that's good. The Bible said now, hey, we've got that first fruit, but now we groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Here's the tough thing. Here's the tough thing. I like I said, sit over there and hear, think about the song. Man, I was thinking this morning we were singing, you know, "I heard an old, old story how the Savior came from glory and how he died, you know, how he came to redeem us." And what a blessing. Man, I just get thrilled over thinking about all that God has done. And we're singing this morning, "It is well with my soul when peace like a river ascended." All right, man, when we get that, that comes to us. But we look forward today, man, when he's coming back. All right, when he's coming back. That verse that says, "My sin, oh, the thought, the bliss of that glorious thought, my sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Boy, it is well with my soul." What a blessing. If you're saved, the Holy Spirit can use things like that to just charge your battery, all right? To just move you in a wonderful way. And then you begin to think, wait a minute, there's a better thing coming. So what is that? The redemption of this body. When the Lord's going to, trump's going to sound from heaven, he's going to say to you and me, as he said to John there in Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, "Come up hither. Just come up hither.
Amen.
I'll take care of it." Just like he said to Enoch years ago, "Enoch, come on home with me." What a blessing to be able to go to be with him. But wait a minute. Won't it be so much better when that time comes if he already has us? If he already has us. If he's got us. Boy, the problem is, it's not God who has most people. It's the world.
Right.
Oh, the world's got its clutches on us. And everything that's going on, our thoughts are molded by this whole world. It's hard for us to even think like a Christian because our thoughts are so much molded by the world. That's when the preacher gets up and preaches on giving, we get mad. That's why when the preacher gets up and preaches on, you know, some of the things we're guilty of,
right,
we get mad. Why? Because the world has us. The world has us. Not God. God doesn't have us. The world's got us. It's got our thoughts. It's got our affections. Paul said, set your affection on things above, not on things on this earth. But where are our affections? Where, man, we get focused in on all the stuff that's around here. And we think, I can't live without it. I've just got to have the latest and the greatest and the newest, all right? And we get focused on all that stuff. And because our mind and our hearts are so attached to the world, our actions are worldly. It's hard for us to do the right thing. We've allowed the world to get its hold on us. Oh, but my soul, how much better it is we'd be drawn away from this whole world. We'd do what the Bible says. We would set our affections on things above instead of things here. Instead of thinking about the world and loving the world, we'd do what the Bible says when it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, but our love might be on Him. I want to say this to you, friend. Your life would be a lot more enjoyable if you'd do that. Oh, it'd be so much more enjoyable. I see people that are miserable because they're consumed with this whole world. The world consumes them. Oh, how about it? He had Enoch before he took him. Wouldn't it be good if we worked so hard that God would have us before he took us? And I'm hoping he will come and the trumpet will sound. But if not, if it's just that day comes and I quit breathing and the old heart quits beating, I sure would hope it'd be an easy move because he already had me. Lord, the only thing you're taking is the soul and the spirit, you know, because you've got everything else. Johnny Flanagan wrote this song. He said, I'm already over on the other side, waiting for my brand new body, sitting up there in the heavenly fair on the right hand of the Father. With my citizenship in heaven, I'm living in Christ, you see. Well, I'm already over on the other side, waiting for my body to be. Amen. Don't you think it'd be good if we'd live that way? Well, if we'd just live, Lord, you've got me. You've got me. You've got my mind, my intellect. You've got my thoughts. You've got my heart, Lord. And not anything or anybody I love more than I love you. And Lord, my actions, you've got them. Everything, I want to try to so live that everything I do might please you. And Lord, when that trumpet sounds, and Lord, the sooner it sounds, the better I'd like it. Would you come get what's left, this old body? Would you just come get it and change it? Oh, how you living, huh? How you living? Does he have you? Does he have you? What's part that you've not given to him? What part have you held back on him? What part have you said, no, you're holding out? Listen, give it to him. I believe you talked to old Enoch. I believe Enoch would tell you, boy, it was a great day when I went home to be with the Lord. And said, I didn't live as long as Methuselah, my son, did, but that's okay. And he only lived. You check out those ages there in Genesis chapter 5. Go back there with me, would you? Genesis chapter 5. Here we are. Notice what the Bible says. It talks about him. All the days in verse 5, all the days of Adam was 930 years. He lived a long time. In verse 8, all the days of Seth were 912 years. He lived a long time. And Enos in verse 11, he lived 905 years and he died. And then if you'll notice in verse 14, all the days of Canaan were 910 years and he died. Mahalalel, he came along afterwards, his days, verse 17, 895, he died young, okay? Died young, all right? All those days. And here's Jared, all right? He came on the scene, and he lived in verse 20, 962 years. He died. Skip over Methuselah, all right? Verse 27, he lived 969 years, and he died. He said, preacher, you really think them people live that long? Well, the Bible says they did. Why wouldn't I believe it? Right. Yeah, I believe they lived that long. But you back up, and you look at Enoch, all right? You back up, and you look to him. Verse 23, all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Well, he didn't live very long. No, he's still living. He never died. He never died. I guarantee you, Enoch's not pacing heaven saying, God, I just don't understand why you made me come. Just don't understand. Let me say this to you, okay? God only takes what's his. He only takes what's his. All right? But how much better if we'd give him everything before he comes to take us? Would you do that? Heavenly Father, I pray you'd help us tonight. Lord, help us to see ourselves. Take a look. Lord, Enoch didn't live very long on this earth, but he never died. But Lord, you had him before you took him. Oh God, how good it would be if we'd see to it you had us. If we would give ourselves to you. We'd just be willing to say, Lord, here I am. You can have all of me, every bit. You can have my affections. You can have my agreement, my thoughts, and my actions, everything. Lord, they're yours. You can just have them. It all belongs to you. You can just have me. Oh, Lord, help us to see that. Help us see it. Lord, if we're here tonight and we've held back on you and we've not given you ourselves, would you help us see where we need to change? In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Would you stand tonight? We sing the invitation hymn, page 17. All right, page 17. God's speaking to you. If you've held out, why don't you come, okay? Why don't you come? Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Snow, wash me just now.